My heart is filled with joy and appreciation for this opportunity to be with you today. And Asbury Theological Seminary is our partner, and we have been blessed by this partnership. And recently, we had Greg Okeson in Kyiv, and we had a wonderful consultation for church planting and church multiplication. And his book will be translated very soon. And it's a joy for me to be with my great friends that are walking with me through this storm. We have Bill Johnson, who was reading the Bible, and Stanley John, who is the graduate of your seminary. So I'm looking forward for our time today. And I want to tell you that Asbury Theological Seminary was among the first institutions that supported us during the first and second months of the war, when it was not clear, will we survive or not? Will we remain as Ukraine or not? So I am grateful to you for being with us, for praying with us, and helping us to take care about our wounded nation. There are a lot of biblical texts that we know them by our heart, and it seems that we understand everything, especially if we have theological education. But sometimes we are in position which offer us a new perspective. We receive a new lenses, and we see biblical texts in a different way. Sometimes you may try to avoid some biblical texts because you don't know what to do with them. As a matter of confession, I can tell you that I do avoid some biblical texts that speaks about forgiveness, that speaks about loving enemies, because I don't know what to do with them. So this text I knew that we read today from I knew it for a long time, and it sounds extremely positive. You are the light, you know, the salt. But if we will read this Bible, this text in the context, we see that the context is not very positive. It is unpleasant. Because just three verses before, Jesus is speaking about persecution. Those who want to have righteousness in their life, who want to follow Jesus, will be persecuted, will be killed. In Ukraine, we enjoy religious freedom. It is a great miracle for us to worship freely, to have theological education freely, and even to have state recognition. Under Soviet Union, for 70 years, we have been persecuted. Thousands of people, thousands of pastors have been imprisoned, sent to Siberia. And now we have freedom. But in Ukraine, we are persecuted in a different way. We are in the midst of full-scale war where all kinds of weapons besides nuclear bombs have been used. Recently, the Russian Federation has used a nuclear-capable weapon against civilians. So the next step is only nuclear bomb. And with the great brutality, they are destroying our churches. And our campus was hit by 6 missiles in March 2022. Just a few days ago, I got a message from my team that a church in the city of Odessa, where we have 5 students, was totally destroyed. So we are serving the Lord in the context when we are facing an existential challenge. So what this words of Jesus about light and salt means for us? And this text is well composed. It has 2 metaphors and 2 warnings, and it concludes with a missionary call of Jesus to his disciples. Of course, these metaphors, salt and light, are very rich, and we know that salt can give flavor to food, and it's true. It can preserve the food from decay. It's also true. But I want to suggest you today a a little bit different idea or emphasis that we do see right now in this biblical text. Remember that these communities of faith, they have been marginalized. They have been persecuted from both sides, from Roman Empire and from religious people. And they were worshiping God maybe in caves. And to them, Jesus says, you are the salt, you are the light. In that ancient time, salt was very expensive. It was like a treasure. Apparently, I am not an expert in English language, but I learned somewhere that the word celery connected to the word salt in Latin. Sometimes people have been paid a salary by salt. Because of salt, there were a lot of wars. By this metaphor, Jesus wants to tell his followers, you are valuable. People that around you may take you like second class. They may not respect you. But in my eyes, you are valuable. Salt is also considered in some extra biblical text as a condition for life. In Ukraine, we have a saying that you cannot live without salt. Some Jewish wise people, they say that people can survive without pepper, but they cannot without salt. Church is important for the life of the world. Apostle Paul says, how they will believe if there is nobody who will preach? Jesus gave us the message that brings life, true, authentic life to people. So if church will be hidden somewhere, how this world will be healed, reconciled? Church is important, crucial community for the real blessing of the world. So we have to remind ourselves that we are valuable in Jesus' eyes. And in spite of all disadvantages and persecution and difficulties, we are important for this world. Not because who we are by ourselves, but because who we are in his name, and because what message and mission we have. The same with the light. We know that without our sun, there can be no light. Church radiates and reflects the light of Jesus Christ. And Jesus is giving two warnings. Do not betray your nature, your mission. If you want to be salt, you have to be among people, among society. And we have to overcome our instinct. You know, there was a significant safety incident in Ukraine in February 2022, when there was a full-scale invasion. And I am grateful to say, to see that Christian Church remained in Ukraine. And that morning, every single church turned to be a relief hub. God has been using churches in Ukraine to save souls, let's say. Now, thousands and thousands of people physically survived because of the church. One gentleman told me, he said, when my city was occupied by the Russians, all Ukrainian officials had to leave, police, military, government. And he said, the only institution that remained, it was a church. And because of our relief ministry, thousands and thousands of people, they were physically able to survive. So this text has a great statement who we are, but also it has a warning that salt might lose its saltiness. Scientifically, it is impossible. Salt cannot lose saltiness. But how can we lose it? When we hide, when we escape, when we are not ready to follow that sometimes really uncomfortable and scary call that Jesus has to us. Jesus says that you cannot put a candle under the cup. Well, in Ukraine, we put something above our candles. Right now, we also have wild winter. During some nights, we might have about 25 Celsius, minus 25 Celsius, which is lower than zero Fahrenheit. And in Ukraine, our system is built in a way that you may have 100 block of apartments, and they are connected to one power plant, which provides heating, hot water, to thousands and thousands of apartments. And this winter, the Russian soldiers, by drones and missile, they are targeting that power plants. As a result, right now, thousands and thousands of people, they are without power, they are without heating. So how do we survive? We have a candle, we put some bricks on top, and then we put a cup with the water. So while we are having some light, that small candle is heating bricks, and then bricks give some warmth for several hours. Jesus reminds us that we are his salt for this world and light for this world. And I want to underline that Jesus is speaking about global mission. We are not just salt in our family, in our community, in our city. No. He is speaking about whole earth, whole world. So sometimes we limit our vision with a small territory. Jesus speaks about global engagement. And then Jesus says that he expects us to shine in a way that people may see our good deeds and they will glorify him. You know, in Ukraine right now, sometimes God is not an answer. He is a question. And in my journey through these 4 years, almost 4 years, of course, in the beginning of war, as a theologian, as a pastor who witnessed a lot of death, I was asking God, where are you? Why are you standing at the distance? Why you are looking like a soldier that cannot help? I am quoting some biblical texts. Bible is a real book. And I thought that I have this right to ask these questions, like, where are you? People are suffering, children and elderly people. And then it seems God give me some time, and I started to hear the same question, but for me. Ivan, where are you? Are you ready to be there where you want me to be? Are you ready to be my voice, my embrace to people that you care? So in Ukraine, Jesus is present in a very specific way, but he is not present as a divine figure, as an angel. No, he is present through an ordinary people. And sometimes when we were delivering medicine or food to people, they would say, you are our angels. No, we are not. We are real people, you know. We are not angels. But when people experience that love and care, they saw something more than just people. So are we open to consider his call for us to be there where we want him to be? In Ukraine, how people think, If a pastor is here, then church is here. If church is here, then Jesus is among us. And sometimes you think that people can meet Jesus only in a comfortable spiritual conditions, like in a church. Yes, it happens often. And you don't expect that people can meet Jesus in the trenches. I had an interesting experience some time ago. We were visiting soldiers, and it was a special forces soldiers. They are on the front line. They see death every single day. They took for granted that they may be killed any day. And there was a small cohort of soldiers, and we are talking with them. And one soldier, he was sitting aside, silent. His body was filled with tattoo, a real man. And he said, "I want to tell something." And I, okay, what he is going to tell? And he said, "Before the war, I was sure that there is no God." And I am thinking, okay, if he started like this, how he will finish? And he said, "Now I know for sure that he is real and he is among us." And then he said, "You know, my job involves a lot of violence. Of course. I dream about a day when I can go home after the war and I can do something good for my people." He met Jesus in the trenches. As a theologian, I would say that it is the last time when you expect Jesus to meet. I told him that I have an envy, because he and other folks, they will become better theologians than I am, because my theology is developed in a library, but his theology is developed in the trenches. So when you are facing such existential challenge, you always have a choice: to be a victim or to be a prophet. In Ukraine, we have a lot of reasons to have these victim mentalities. Life is unjust, war is unjust, extreme suffering. But we decided not to remain in this status. We want to be a prophet for our society. Some Jewish people, they say that a real prophet, when he sees a strong wall that you think it will never fail, a real prophet see a small, you know, thing that will lead to the destruction of that wall. Real prophet, when he see totally burn out garden, but he see a small sprout that will bring life to that garden. In Ukraine, our cities are looking like that garden, which is totally burned out. But because of the gospel, we see a seed, a potential, that a new garden will grow in our country if Jesus' church will accomplish its mission. So we decided not to remain as a refugee and displaced people. We want to be shepherds, suffering in the same way our nation suffers, but we want to lead our nation after the war. So now we want to be a community of lamenting. I remind myself always when I am preaching, when I see that somebody is crying in a church, I tell myself that I have no idea what they are going through. And sometimes I may learn that this is a family that lost their son in the war. And just a few days ago, they had a funeral. We want to be a community of trauma healing, because we do have our own traumas. And we dream and we pray that we will be able to lead our nation to the moment of dialogue and peace building. Church has a crucial role right now in Ukraine. If we speak about counseling, about trauma healing, yes, we do have secular counseling. It can be successful, but it misses a very important component, spiritual component. Can you imagine that God blessed us in a way that we got state recognition for theology and counseling? President of Ukraine tell us To Christian leaders, send more chaplains. But there is a requirement. Chaplain must be a professional. He must have master's degree in theology from a state-recognized institution. Master's degree in philosophy or counseling doesn't work. Theology. And now we are offering that education. Because trauma is so deep and wide, and many people, they want to be trauma healer, and they believe that if they will take 3-day seminar, they will become trauma healer. It takes a little bit longer, a week at least. And government started to put some limitations, and we got state recognition for our counseling program. And right now, our graduates, they can provide gospel-based counseling, professional counseling, way beyond churches' walls. Sometimes a distance between a church and a people is very long, but now people can experience the beauty of the gospel working with a Christian counselor. So we decided not to be refugees, but to be a shepherd. Now our country, our nation, is looking for a new narrative or for a new song. You remember in the Bible when God saved people, they would write a song. We believe we will write a new song for Ukraine, which is faithful for our painful past, but which also show us about our future. Our nation is looking for a new lighthouse. And church, because of our ministry, we got that respect and love. Our society is open to listen. But do we have something to say? Do we have that competence to translate biblical wisdom into the language people understand? It requires competence. So, theological institutions are crucial. Because we are a place where church does its thinking. We are praying and studying the Bible, the context, in order to develop new approaches to take responsibility for our country. Jesus started with the question of identity, who we are, and then he speaks about what we do. Without right identity, we cannot do right thing for a long time. The first, what connects to our identity, we have to remind ourselves that we are his sons and daughters. Before Jesus started his ministry, he heard that voice, "You are my son." And I want to remind ourselves who we are in Jesus, because only when we have proper identity, we can do proper ministry. Only then, when we know who we are in him, we can be capable to answer that call, "Follow me." So in Ukraine, sometimes I'm thinking about question. Ivan, are you ready to follow me if my answers to your prayers will always be no? Are you follow me if your ministry will be in your suffering? Just a few minutes ago, I saw a great quote from Stanley John. Not the Stanley John who is here in this hall, a different one. That through suffering, sometimes we are saving the world. Suffering makes us authentic. So I want to ask you to pray for us in Ukraine, so we will be able to go through this storm, and we will be able to navigate our society for different future. Without the gospel, which is public, Ukraine has no future. So our dream that gospel will penetrate our society and transform it from within. My friend Bill Johnson reminded me about Lewis, and he was writing also in the context of war. And the question was, should we study? Should we do ministry when war is outside? And he says, "Don't abandon your calling. Don't shrink your soul. God's purposes are not suspended by chaos." My brothers and sisters, you have your own challenges, different than we are in Ukraine. And if it's true, I want you to remind yourself who you are in Jesus. You are his son, his daughter. And you have a great calling to be a salt, to be a light. Sometimes we are looking for light, but Jesus wants us to be that light, to be that salt. And regardless of chaos we are in, he wants us to be his people. Not just in Kentucky or United States or Ukraine, around the world. We live in a global, in a broken world. And this world needs us as a church, as a community of Jesus Christ. Thank you very much for your hospitality and care, and may God bless you. Amen. And let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great opportunity to worship with your children. We speak different languages, we came from different cultures, but we are united under your name, in your love. Holy Spirit, remind us who we are, that we are your daughters, your sons. You hold us strongly in your hands, and nothing will take us from your loving hands. Lord, remind us about our mission in this broken world. Give us strength to obey that invitation, to follow that invitation. Make us a blessing for this broken world, because our world that you love needs your blessing. And when we are looking for light, help us to be your light for our communities. We want to be a blessing for this world. So strengthen us, Jesus. Remind us through our identity. So may we follow you not because we are afraid or we have to, we are forced. No, but because we want. Because we love you. And because this is the best thing in our life, what we can do, it is to follow you and being a blessing for this world which you love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your Holy Spirit who is working in us and among us. Thank you for the Asbury Theological Seminary. And I ask your specific blessing on them. So the ministry may remain solid and being even more global. God, may many, many nations worship you and bless your name because of faithful ministers from Asbury Theological Seminary. Thank you, Jesus, for everything. Amen.